Let us pray. Almighty God and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we tonight cannot only hear, but also taste and see that you are good, that you love us, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for us. Now, O Lord, we pray that the Spirit of the Triune God will continue this work within us, through us, in the coming week, so that even the world around us, the people with whom we come in contact with, may see a little bit and hopefully even a lot of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Thank you, Lord, for your church which worships worldwide, and we can see an evidence of that here tonight, that it is a universal church, that it is a church that worships in countless languages and dialects, with people speaking in countless languages, dialects, and accents, but it's all to the praise and glory of your name. But Lord, we are mindful of the fact that the biggest part of the world does not yet worship you. Some don't worship you because they don't want to, they have rejected you. And we pray that you will break the hearts of stone. Others do not worship because they have not yet heard. And Lord, continue to raise up men and women who are willing to go out and preach that glorious gospel of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, with that gracious invitation that whosoever, no exceptions, whosoever believes in you will not perish, but have eternal life. May your word go forth with power. May your word go forth with the blessing of your Spirit. May he melt hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, so that rebels may be translated and changed into citizens of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our world. It continues to be a sinful world, a troubled world, a broken world, a world where we see so many evidences of Romans 8. But Lord, it is also a world in which the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is a world in which there is the beginning of the new creation. And Lord, as your people tonight, we pray for that time when this whole creation will be made new. And Lord, continue to do that renewing work in us. Lord, we pray for Dan as he continues. Dan and Mike, as they continue to be in isolation, may they know your nearness and your grace. We pray for many people, especially in the mainland, who have to navigate this and cope with this and respond to this. We pray for governments who have to make difficult decisions. Lord, give wisdom, give insight, give good ways of communication. Lord, we pray for those for whom COVID has meant loss of job, loss of livelihood. Father, we pray that you will be the great provider even at this time. Lord, bless the preaching of your word, bless the preaching that will be done by our brother Van Focus. Thank you, Lord, that he can be here. And may your word find entrance into our hearts. May it do its life-changing, character-changing work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tonight's Bible reading is from the New Testament, from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. So James chapter 1, starting at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
So good afternoon, brothers and sisters at Crossroad. I'm that Luke mentioned. It was great to be here. And I still can remember that a few years ago, probably 4 years ago, when I first arrived in Hobart, and I've been visiting here a couple of times, and it's great to be here again. What is greater is we can learn from God's word together. And today, I'm going to share with you a book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, and the topic is about joy in trials. So we probably all experienced difficulties in our life. Just take the pandemic as an example. So we're all suffering from it in various ways, more or less. So our trips get cancelled. We can't have holidays overseas. And we feel isolated. And seriously, like some people lost their dear friends or family. So we may question God, like, why do you allow trials? Why you allow this to happen to me? And what have I done to deserve this? And perhaps we may not immediately get a solid and a crystal answer. And honestly speaking, we don't like trials. All the pains and the suffering, disappointment and hopelessness. So what we want the most is just get out of this as soon as possible. And we may believe that should be God's will too, because we know he's a loving God. Unfortunately, as we all experienced, it doesn't happen most of the time. So not saying God is not loving God, but he has far more great purpose for us to go through these adversities than simply just removing all the trials that we are experiencing straight away. And even surprisingly, he called us to joy, rejoice in trials. But why should we be joyful in trials, and how could it be possible? Well, we can find some very good answer from Book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. And the first point we can see from this book is, from this passage, is that we can be joyful in trial because we can grow from trials. Let's see verse 2 to 4. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we will face trial in our life, no matter we like it or not. Is it physical or emotional, eternal or internal? We can rejoice in trial, not because trial themselves are joyful, but because we know God can use trials to grow us. So it's test our faith. The word test here doesn't mean trials determine whether we have faith or not. Rather, they strengthen and purify us, purify our faith that already have, just like the civil, and the goat that is refined by fire. So the heat burns down all the impurities, and it produces precious pure gold. And we are in the same process of strengthening and purifying our faith when we keep trusting God in hardship. And once our faith is tested, it produces perseverance. And this is the key for us to, it's a key characters that enable us to be more endurable in hardship and for us to grow, to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What is mean here is trials can make us fully grow to be Christ-like, and not single part of God-like characters will be lacking in us if we go through trials and keep trusting in God and let us our faith be tested. And that is a great hope we have when we face trials in our life. And this doesn't happen overnight. And it requires us to hold fast to the faith we have in Christ and endure in all the hardships that is happening in our life. And also, it doesn't happen naturally. So trials themselves doesn't guarantee growth and maturity. So they can either build us or destroy us. Whether we can grow and benefit from it or be crushed and get nothing out of it really depends on how we respond to it. So we can either choose to trust God and hold on to the hope and the promise we have in Him and be persevering and grow to maturity and completeness, or blame God and blame other people and grow bitterness and hostility and miss out the whole point. So it's really our choice. And here God has promised that there is guarantee of growth and maturity if we choose to trust and rely on God in our tribulations. And we know this process is painful, yet joyful, as it produces genuine, unperishable faith, which is far precious than pure gold. And the idea of painful yet joyful is actually quite common. So we can see this from a lot of general revelations in the Word that echoed this principle. So we can see from numerous examples from the nature and of a human wisdom. This one. And I can remember, Luke once told me, he stressed his apple trees in order to get more fruit. So he pulled the branches and shake the tree, it will make them think, well, the right word is like it signaled the roots. There was a danger, something terrible is going to happen. I may die. So they start to put a lot of energy to bear fruit, to preserve for the next generation. Which is joyful in the end as we grow more fruit because of that. And also another very obvious example is like building the process of building muscles and getting in shape. We know this is super painful. We need to do a lot of heavy lift. We need to sweat, stretch our muscles, and bear the pains, push our limits, and control our diet, daily diet. It's tiring and exhausting, and it's also take a long time and requires our perseverance in this process. But because of that, we're getting better, stronger, and healthier in the end, which is joyful. And also some example from Chinese culture. I guess, yeah, it would be fun. So a famous Chinese proverb says, I will say in Mandarin now, as Luke already said, 良药苦口利于病, 中年逆而利于行. So if translate it to English is, the good medicine is bitter in mouth, but good for the disease. A fistful word offend the ear, but are good for the conduct. So to help you get a better understanding of this, I will teach you some very basic Chinese medicine, so you can understand why good medicine is bitter. Chinese medicine is made of like mixed of herbs or parts of trees, the plants, and the animals, and normally, like we need to add a few cups of water to it and braise it for a couple of hours, and then we will drink the rich and the dark liquid it produced in the end. And to be honest, it's not a joyful experience to drink it at all. It tastes terrible, like bitter, sour, pungent, and all sorts of unpalatable flavors that you can imagine. I had drunk it before and I hate it. But it kills diseases and it's good for health. Well, I know some of you may not trust Chinese medicine. I was not specifically pointing to you, Luke. But it works and it sometimes can be very effective. But you need to find a good one. And the same for the faithful word, like strict instructions, rebuking, corrections. They are all unpleasant to hear, but lead us to good conduct and righteousness. It's painful, yet joyful. And our spiritual life needs to grow in the same way. Our faith needs to be stretched, strengthened, and purified. And unfortunately, cozy and comfy life has little effectiveness in this. And our God knows this very well. So He knows what we need and act on it. And He's loving God. His strict Father who cares about our spiritual need, but allowing trials in our life. And let us experience pains and make us alert to not rely on ourselves. But on Him, so He don't spoil us like a lot of Chinese grandparents do, which is grateful. So a lot of Chinese grandparents are too good to their grandchildren and make them go wild easily. And now, like, how would you like to respond to in your trials? Let's say you lost your honor, your loved one, either from illness or accident. Are you trusting God in the midst of affliction? And do you believe God is going to build you up from it while you are still experiencing this real emotional pain and sorrow? And are you willing to endure in faith, although it feels very hard? And here's a hope and encouragement for you if you are struggling, because God has promised to grow us to be mature and complete and lacking nothing if we keep trusting Him and persevering in trials. So don't lose your heart in hardship and keep trusting God. And now, you may have feel a bit convinced that trials actually can be good and good for us to grow to maturity. But you may still feel uncertain, and you're not sure how could joy in tribulation actually happen. Because the pain and the hurts are so real. It obsesses our mind and heart. So how could it be possible? Well, the good news is God, He has never left us alone in this. And He also promised to give us wisdom to get through it. Let's see verse 5. So if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So God has never let us alone to face trials in our life. So he may appear to be distancing from us sometimes, but he's always watching, guiding and sustain us. And he's willingly and generously to give us all the wisdom that we need. And we just need to ask and to pray to him. And it's a wisdom from God that makes it possible for us to rejoice in trials. So don't hesitate to come to him and ask wisdom from him. And don't let anything stop you from praying and seeking for him. Ask and it will be given to you. Our God is generous. So he's not like strict Asian parents. So if you don't get grade A in your final exam, no birthday present. Or if you get 99% in your final exam, then he will ask, where's the other 1%? And or he may slap you if you spend too much money on lollies. But our God is not like that at all, thank God. So he gives generously without any reservations and without fighting your fault. He won't refuse to give it to you because you fail to the test or you disobey him before. God give wholeheartedly and without wavering intent, and he's more like Asian grandparents in this case, actually. So if you see a typical Asian grandparents interact with their grandchildren, you will be amazed. They're such single-minded. They're always kind and always willing, always pour out their whole love, their heart for their children, and earnestly work so hard to make single requirement of their grandchildren. And they're full of love. And we know which worries us a bit. It can easily spoil children, but God is that loving, but without spoiling us. So don't hesitate and come to God when you lack wisdom in your trials. Ask, it will be given to you, and he will give to you generously. And yet there's one requirement you need to meet if you are to receive this wisdom. So we must have faith, and without doubt. Verse 6 to 8 point. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all he does. So if we want to receive wisdom from God, we must have faith in him and no doubt. So it doesn't mean we must be 100% sure that God will answer what we ask, or we can't have any single thought, doubtful thought of whether God will answer my prayer or not. It means we must have confidence in God and trust Him and follow Him unwaveringly, rather than swerving between God and the Word, God's way or my way, God's wisdom and my wisdom, but God and God alone. So Jesus is this perfect example of what it looks like. He loved the Father with all his heart, his soul, and his might. And he does the will for the Father, and he fully submits to him. So he's single-minded. And only those who can receive abundant wisdom from God when they ask. And on the contrary, those who claim to be followers of Christ and submit to him on one hand and desire the pleasure and enjoyment of the word on the other hand, they are double-minded men. So they don't have genuine faith, and they do not fully trust the sovereignty and the goodness of God. They not fully submit to God. And eventually, they will receive nothing from him. Now, are you single-minded or double-minded? You may not want to come to an answer too quickly. You'd better think twice and ask yourself, is there any area of in my life, in your life, that you still keep for yourself? So that's untouchable. That's my holy ground and only belong to me. Or is there anything in your life that you prioritized higher than God? Is it your family, your career, or your hobbies, your preference? And if you think it through and you still think you are single-minded, praise the Lord for this tested and genuine faith you have. But if you do find plenty, don't panic, because it's not too late. Instead, rejoicing as you find them out isn't great, that we find out our imperfections, our flaws, even in the flaws of our faith. And it's God's great grace that we see it rather than being blind. And then we will realize how much we need Jesus to come and wash away our sin, and how much we need God's love and his forgiveness, and how much we need his life in us. And it's joyful that he is such a generous God and forgive us as we repent from our unbelief. And he loves us so much, and he will give us wisdom to live out a godly life in this broken world. And he even given us his life. And what we need to do is ask in faith with no doubt. Here's a few slides. And now it comes to the end of sermon. So are you convinced a bit to see the trials in the lens of God and be certain that God can grow you from the trials, from all the disasters and the difficulties? And can you be joyful in whatever you're facing because of that? Or at least you find some encouragement and hope from the promise of God, which enables you to preserve in adversities. And have you been reminded that our God is a generous and loving God, and he will reservedly give wisdom to us to get through all the hardship if we ask him in faith. And I hope you can find joy because of that. So let's pray to God now. Dear God, we thank you that you love us, and you love us so much. And you give us all the wisdom we will need if we ask and if we trust you in faith. So we pray now that you give us all the wisdom that we need, that enable us to find joy in all the difficulties we are facing now. And we know that your wisdom is sufficient for us to overcome all these temporal trials. And your wisdom help us to see the great hope we have in you, that you have promised for us in heaven. So we pray that in your holy name. Amen.